Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah, tomorrow's the big day, huh?
Ready as I'm ever going to be, Mace.
Part deux. Travis versus Ireland. Did you go out and play today?
No, I practiced today.
You did?
But practicing golf is, you know, you kind of have to play.
What is that? You go to a range and you hit a bucket of balls?
Yes. I hit more than one bucket. But who knows? Who knows what will happen tomorrow? You can watch it, I think. Where is it, Lindsay, that
it's
people
on,
can watch?
It's at ESPN Los Angeles, our Twitter handle, our Facebook handle. It'll be airing live as we go along. So whole by
basically
whole coverage.
All of our social media outlets at ESPN Los Angeles.
Matter of fact, Lindsay, I just sent a video to Travis that the ESPN LA Twitter account just posted. Funch, if you want to queue it up, we can actually play it. You just have to queue it up and we'll play it, which will give you a preview of what you can expect tomorrow. I think it'll play on the radio. It's more of a visual bit. But, yeah, Travis and I tomorrow, 10 a.m. And, we'll see. It's his home course. So I'm feeling it would be like the Lakers going into Boston, winning on the road to get the title.
Ooh. And you are a heavy underdog. Travis is at 1-2. You're at 9-1. I've bet $5,000 on you at 9-1 odds, and you've bet $7,000 on yourself at 9-1.
Yeah, why not?
You know, why not?
Got to bet your mythical money on something.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
this is a weird year. We haven't had anything to actually bet on. We've been betting on stupid stuff.
Right,
but
and Boots Tommy is going to join us here at the top of the hour in a couple of minutes. He's actually doing one of the few things that is going on right now in the world. He's broadcasting the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization, and sometimes Boog is getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning and doing these games. He's doing these games from his house. They basically set him up with a home studio. And so whoever his color guy is in his home, sometimes it's Jess Mendoza, who's at her house in Oregon.
That's crazy.
And you would be shocked at how good they're doing. Like, it sounds like they're there. But I mean,
do they have the names? Do they have the stats? Do they have all that stuff?
Do they have the
names? They do, but like, I mean, so every once in a while they'll make a mistake and just kind of like goof on it. And
it's not like back in 2019, this guy hit 273.
Well, they do have like good like, little stories that they sprinkle in, and they have given. I've listened a few times or watched it a few times, and they give a lot of credit to their producer and stats guys.
So, yeah. Mace, my question is, you know, I'm waiting word. I think we're going to have basketball again. I don't know where I'm going to broadcast it from.
Yep.
I might be doing it from home. I might be doing it from a studio in El Segundo. I might be going to Orlando or going to Las Vegas and be doing it like we normally do.
Yep.
Right there from the game. What should I expect?
From the NBA?
Where do you think I'll be?
I think you will be at the Spectrum Studios in El Segundo. That is my guess.
See, if you heard Boog do these games,
yep,
it's shocking how good he is doing them from his house.
Is it a higher quality? My understanding is the quality, and I can't listen to us do the show, but my understanding is the quality of us doing the show is pretty good, right?
His is even better than ours.
Really? Wow.
It sounds like he's there. It sounds like he's at these games.
I think he'll be at the Spectrum Studios in El Segundo.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll take, you know, just give me the games back. I'll do the games from the side of the road. I don't care. But I think, like, have you worked, how many, you worked 8 different Olympics?
8 Olympics.
Any of them remotely? Were you ever in New York while the Olympics were outside of the country?
I did one remotely. I did Beijing remotely. I did not do play-by-play at Beijing. Now, I did do play-by-play in Athens, not from the site. I did it from the International Broadcast Center, describing something that was happening miles away. So I did do play-by-play, but wasn't at the site. So that's kind of what you would be doing.
Yeah, do you think people could tell?
No, I do not believe anybody could tell. And by the way, there's a long history of this. Like, if you go back to the 70s and the Olympics and Howard Cosell doing boxing, he was never actually at the ring.
Yeah, well, I think these guys are so good doing these games from their houses that it might change everything. And joining us right now is Boog Shambi, who gets up in the wee hours of the morning, we assume, to broadcast these KBO games. Boog, thanks for doing this, man. I'm sure we're waking you up from what's normally the time when you sleep. What is the average first pitch for these games you're doing where you are?
So 5:30 a.m. is my Thursday and Friday games, and then Sunday it's 1 a.m.
So
it's kind of all over the place. Yeah, it's ouchy. I go to bed. So the last 2 days I've done 5:30 in the morning, so I'll go to bed at, I usually, what my schedule has been is I go to bed about 9:30, 10 o'clock, wake up at 2 or 2:30, and then prep and get ready for the game. I'll call the game, probably stay up for like 2 hours, then take a 2-hour nap, and then do it again. And, and then on Sunday, I'll probably try and get like 3 hours of sleep, 6 to 9, 7 to 10, and then get ready and call the game from 1 a.m. to 4 or 5, whenever it lasts, and then usually try and settle in. And then by Sunday night, you know, basically sleeping like in the movies where, you know, they like chloroform you, where they sneak up behind you with a handkerchief, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm gone.
So Boog, you know I'm all about honesty. We've worked together. You know I'm all about honesty.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I have not watched any of the KBO. It's nothing personal. I haven't watched any of the KBO. But tell me, what is the quality
I'll
of the baseball
I'll let you know when
there?
You're insulting me, mate.
I'm just telling you, my sleep schedule doesn't allow me to watch games in the middle of the night.
I have, Boog, if that makes you feel any better. I've seen like five of them.
But what's the quality of the baseball in the KBO?
So everybody wants, you know, it to be a one-size-fit-all type of deal. This is what I would say. I think they got some cats that get hit. I would say every lineup has probably two or three guys that can hit on a major league team, no question. Probably at least one guy that could hit in a big league lineup. So I would say that the hitting overall is AAA-ish. You know, they're bigger than the guys in Japan. There's still contact, but they're looking to try and hit three run homers, and they have guys that can hit. So the hitting is the best skill set of all the things. And it's AAA-ish or thereabouts. The pitching stuff wise is probably, I would say it is, you know, crafty, but the stuff is in the neighborhood of like a, I don't know, like a not quite elite Power 5 conference D1. I mean, it's you know, the average fastball in the KBO is, I think, 88 and a half miles an hour.
Wow.
And that's the stuff that gets, you know, really demolished in Major League Baseball. But the thing is, they know they have really good off-speed stuff. So that's not as the skill that's really been disappointing straight up is the defense. It's a bad defensive league. Like, I think that the defense plays to like high A ball in terms of the basic plays and so forth that they don't make. The defense is not good. So even though the velocity isn't there, you got guys that know how to pitch backwards and can flip breaking balls in negative counts and be, you know, problematic, but it's the defense that's been disappointing. So that's how I do it. I can't do it equates to X level. I do it as hitting, pitching, and defense. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to John Chombi, who does these games for ESPN at night, the KBO. John's in his house. The KBO is going on in Korea. Boog, after going through this for as many days as you have, are you more or less confident that we're going to get baseball back in the United States in the next couple months?
Well, I mean, one doesn't have anything to do with the other.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
The reason that they're playing over there is because as a country, they've done a much better job with mitigation and widespread testing. I think we're going to get baseball back. I think we're going to get the main reason is because they're determined to get baseball back. So I think you'll have, you know, 60 to 80 games. My biggest, you know, question is, you know, look, again, depending on where you are, this is or isn't the case. But in the KBO, they're not testing every day. They're taking your temperature. If you're symptomatic, they'll test you. But if you're asymptomatic, they are not testing you. And it's only a 10-team league. In Major League Baseball, it's a 30-team league, and you've definitely got to test asymptomatically, in my estimation, in order to realistically keep it safe. But in order to do that, you know, everybody says that it's possible. Just wonder a little bit about the optics. You know, I know of people who live in Michigan who work, you know, and have been in contact with COVID people, but aren't symptomatic, so they can't get a test. And are we really giving the Diamondbacks backup second baseman access to 6 asymptomatic tests a week? Like, what are we doing? So that's the thing I worry about a little bit is, I mean, I want baseball back as much as the next guy, but I worry about, you know, the optics of making sure the testing is available for the mass population before we get back to playing.
So there is a timeline out there. The timeline is that sometime in June, you go to a spring training 2.0. And Bob Nightingale joined us earlier this week. He said he thinks it's 90-10 that we have baseball by the 4th of July. 82-game season with the playoffs and the World Series happening at the normal time. My question for you from a baseball perspective, our team, the Dodgers, are absolutely loaded. Does an 82-game season work for them or against them?
I have to tell you, so I know this isn't going to be interesting to you, but having done what you do, and in these KBO games, I'm interviewing people. It's a question that I've asked Buster Olney. It's a question I've asked Jeff Passan, and they've given me answers. And now and I understand it. Like, is there a team that is better served by the sprint version of this as opposed to the marathon version? And I can't give it to you. I still am going to be inclined to go with the good team. You know what I mean? So
right.
If you're asking me who do I think is going to win the World Series this year, I'm probably still going to pick the Dodgers or the Yankees. I do think this, that If they do expand the postseason to, you know, 14 teams or whatever, something really big like that, then, you know, I think that a team that's got some depth, so maybe that, you know, it gives a team like the Rays a little more of a chance. But I don't think that there's a super sneak attack team, you know, that would be good for 80 games, but not good for 162. I can't quite get my brain around that one. So I'd still be inclined to go, you know, Dodgers, Yankees, you know, that's where I would go.
We're talking to Boog Chombi, who broadcasts baseball for ESPN right now. He's doing a lot of those games over in Korea for the KBO. Boog,
yes.
I know that baseball fans, and you talk to them more than I do, are stat nerds. It's a great game for numbers and stats. let's say they play an 82-game season and Mike Trout hits 400.
Yeah.
Do we slap him up there next to Ted Williams as the most recent guy to hit 400, or do you got to throw those types of stats out for a year?
No, I don't know. It's funny. I don't know why people get so stuck on this stuff, because like we've handled all of these things before. So like I understand what you're asking. The answer is yeah. Mike Trout becomes the last guy, and there is no, you know, it's like the Indiana Jones movie, you know, where the old which one was it? Was The Last Crusade? You know, like, yeah. The MLB record book isn't in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they're guarding the thing and there is really an asterisk or something like that. The point is this. Who's hit the most home runs of all time? Barry Bonds. That's what happened. So when somebody says, who's hit the most homers of all time? The answer is Barry Bonds.
Right, but Boog, it's not going to count this. It's not going to count the same if Mike Trout. It's easier to hit 400 in 82 games than it is in 162.
I get it. It's what happened. Then you have the conversation. In the same way, the Astros, you don't have to take the trophy away from them in 17 because it's too hard to parse what everybody else was doing. You just, the Astros won, and the same way, whoever wins this year, you get the trophy and you won. And then when your kid asks you 25 years ago, hey, so the Dodgers won in 2020. Yeah, they won the World Series in 20. That season, though, was only 82 games. Like, these are, you know, when's the last guy to hit 400? Mike Trout. Remember, though, that was only the pandemic that year. Like, these are easy things to sort out. It's not hard. We've done it before.
Okay,
like, it's the way we do stuff.
So the way it's structured, my understanding is, to limit travel, is that the AL West would play the NL West, the AL Central plays the AL Central, et cetera. That would mean that the Dodgers would face the Astros. What is that series like?
That'd be awesome.
Does it get?
I don't know whether that's going to be the case. I don't, like, that one doesn't quite make sense to me. Like, you know, it's either travel or not travel. I don't know what that one. I can't quite figure out. Like, in terms of sorting out the schedule, if you're getting on a plane, what does it matter whether you're getting on a plane for 2 hours or 4 hours? In terms of safety, like I don't quite understand that component to it that you need to necessarily do. Like, try and balance the schedule and make it as simple as possible. I don't know that that's set. They're still trying to figure out the schedule. But, Dodgers and Astros, if it were to happen. Oh, my gosh. I mean, look, sign me up because it's good, because there are a lot of good players on the field. That's why it's fun.
All right, Boog, last thing for me, and I say this as an NBA play-by-play guy, so I'm in the boat, same boat as you. Do you have a sense where you will physically be once they start playing baseball? Is the fact that you guys are doing these games so well from your houses probably mean that at least for 1 year we might have remote broadcasting for guys like you?
I think if I were to guess, my answer would be yeah, I do. Mm. And it's a bummer. I don't like that at all, because especially in baseball where it's more casual and you have the ability to tell stories, you have the space, you need to tell stories. And just the human interaction is such a huge part of what I like about the job. But if I no one has told me this, but if you were to, my best guess would be that this is the direction we're going to go in for this year, if and when we come back in these sports. And then also from a cost standpoint, I think you are going to see it. I think it's going to be the type of thing where, yeah, you're going to see, it'll fall in line with what you think, that you're going to see in 6 years, you know, the Royals and the Rays will do a full broadcast complement at home, but on the road, you know, they'll do the games on remote or something
right,
akin to that. That, again, is just my guess. But, yeah, I think we're moving in that direction. It kind of stinks.
All right. Hey, Boog, thank you very much. Appreciate it. I hope we get to some real baseball coming up pretty soon.
Don't yell at me next time, Mace.
I was just being honest, man. I was just being honest. It's all I got. It's all I got.
It'll be fine. If he hits 400, it'll be fine. Like, no one needs to scream at anyone. He'll be the last guy to admit 400. Remember that.
All right. All right.
Thank you, John.
Sure.
Thanks, John.
Keep it up.
See you guys.
Bye.
See you, man. Yeah, won't count the same. I don't care what he says. Won't count the same.
So what, you slap an asterisk on it?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a mental asterisk. I don't think it actually needs to be a physical asterisk. But I'm never going to say he was the last guy to hit 400.
It'll be 10 million. Well, you know, it was funny when he said that just randomly, the one he picked out. Who's the all-time home run leader? What's the first name that popped into your head?
Henry Aaron.
Me too.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean,
because I've
yeah.
made that asterisk in my head.
Barry Bonds does have the number. He's the correct answer on Jeopardy, but most baseball fans don't recognize it.
Yep. All right, so what kind of shape have you been staying in during this pandemic? Have you? No, seriously,
God,
excellent.
I'm a fitness marv, but I have a question. We have Jillian coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jillian Michaels. Bottom of the hour, Lindsay. But
that's like the third bottom of the hour reference already today, guys.
3:30.
But Mace, when we come back, I have a question specifically for you that relates to fitness.
Okay,
because
good.
As everyone knows, you are a fitness god.
I am. That's coming up next for you. Jillian Michaels at 3:30 today. Travis Rogers is going to come on the show. Tomorrow is Travis versus John Ireland, part deux, their second head-to-head golf matchup. That's coming up for you too. Mace in Ireland, Big Friday, 7:10 ESPN. It's all happening, people. It's all happening. Mason and Ireland, 7:10 ESPN, Big Friday. Ireland, what question you want to hit me with?
Okay. So Jillian Michaels is coming on. She's a really famous fitness trainer. She's coming
famous,
on
yeah.
in 10 minutes. I don't know if this is going to stay the same, obviously, with the pandemic.
Yep.
But for the last 20 years, I've averaged about 100 nights a year in hotels.
Yes.
I go to the hotel gym every time I'm out. I'm there. I mean, there's just nothing else to do, so I always go to the hotel gym. Most people have a gym membership that they go to a gym and use.
Correct.
When the stay-at-home, shelter-at-home order is lifted, do you think people flock back to those places, or do you think they wade in gently? In other words, are the gyms, both the regular gyms and the hotel gyms, going to suffer a hangover from this pandemic? Or the minute they lift the shelter at home, is everybody going back to the gym?
Absolutely a hangover. Absolutely a hangover. I think people are going to be slow to come back to everything. I pulled up, this is a survey of 1,189 U.S. adults, May 13 through 18. And I'll just pick
one. So that ended just 4 days ago.
Just ended 4 days ago. Fly in an airplane. Now, and by the way, this is broken out politically because everything's got to be political now. Democrats, 21% say they'd be willing to fly in an airplane. Independents, 25%. Republicans, 25%. That gives you some idea of the sense of how people are going to feel about coming back. Only 25% of people on average say, I'm willing to fly in an airplane over this summer. That's all, by the way, over this summer. So I think gyms, which, you know, are you're all using the same weights, the same benches, you're breathing the same air, you're sweating, you're
same lead. Let's get even more precise. Using the same showers.
Using the same showers. Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to take a while. I think there is going to be a hangover. One thing that I've done since the pandemic is normally I have a membership at Gold's. I don't think I'm going to renew it. I've started doing yoga every day and bought weights. I've been doing weights every other day. So I've developed my own workout for home as opposed to going to a gym, especially during this time.
So another thing that's really popular at hotels are spas, like where you can go to get a massage, you could just go hang out and go in the jacuzzi, go in the steam room. Are spas dead?
I could so use a massage right now, but I'm so unwilling to do it. There's a place that we go to called the Massage Place. They've got like six locations on the west side. There's one in Manhattan Beach, in fact. Go there. When everything is normal, go there probably once a week. It's like a $49 massage, super cheap. they sent out an email saying, could you donate to help keep us open?
Wow.
And I did, because I want them to be there when it gets good enough to go back. My acupuncturist, I'm not going to go to my acupuncturist for a while. But I said, I'm still going to pay you like I'm going, because I want you to be there when I get back. So I think it's going to take some time. I know it's going to take some time for me. I think it's going to take some time for a lot of people.
Hey,
I think it's going to take less time for you.
It will. And Funch, you're a better test case than anybody. You go to the gym 5 days a week. When they lift the shelter at home order, are you going right back in?
I don't know if I'm going to go right back in. But they're going to have some rules, like some social distancing rules and stuff like that. And, you know, be very strict on people that don't wipe down their equipment after they use it and stuff like that. So I think I might have to wait a little bit and see how the temperature is before I go right back in.
Lindsay, how about you? Will you go right back in or will you wait?
I'll probably, I don't know. I feel like I would probably wait a little bit. But then again, I remember like at my gym at my apartment complex right before this pandemic stuff or the stay-at-home order happened, they did that where they implemented strict rules and they had someone in there like making sure people were wiping down their equipment before and after every use and had like every other machine being used. You know, gyms could take out like half their equipment so it's spaced out properly and stuff. So I don't know. I guess I would probably wait like a week. And then I'd get antsy.
Just 1 week?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's basically going right back.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Because
See, I mean, I keep saying this, but there's what's allowed and what you're willing to do. And I think everybody's going to have to make that decision for themselves. How much risk are you willing to incur? How afraid are you? How concerned are you that you're going to get the thing?
Yeah, because to me, what I took away from this whole conversation is, okay, when they lift the shelter at home, I can have my whole gym to myself.
It'll just be you.
Yeah, like there's a great gym right around the corner from me, and I'm like, wow, I can have the whole place to myself. I'm all in.
But if we're all not going back, how does the gym survive? That's the question too.
Well, we'll throw some of this at Jillian Michaels. She's going to join us next.
Yep, she's a big time fitness guru, and she's coming up next for you. Travis Rogers a little bit later on the show. It's John versus Travis tomorrow at Black Gold in their second head to head golf battle. Brought to you by Coors Light. Thanks very much to Coors Light for sponsoring that. You can get Coors delivered right to your door. It's get.coorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com. We appreciate them. You can also watch live coverage hole by hole on all of our social media at ESPN Los Angeles. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. It's a good day to go out for a walk. It's a good day to take the dogs out. It's a good day to at least go for a jog. You're still a jogger. You can jog at the beach. I don't think you can throw your towel down and lay at the beach. Can you?
Yeah, the beaches are open in Manhattan Beach now.
Are they? You can lay on the beach?
I know you can walk on the beach.
Yeah, I know you can definitely walk. I don't think you can camp out on the beach. I don't know. Check your local rules and regulations. I can't keep track. There's the county. There's the city. There's other cities. There's other counties. It's hard. There's the state. I can't figure out what the rules are anymore. Can you? Are you able to keep track of the rules?
No. I just wait for somebody to tell me if something is open, and then I go to it.
They're very confusing. I just put on my mask, and I yell at people, stay 6 feet away from me, dude. It's pretty much the way I'm rolling these days. Tomorrow's a big golf matchup. We've got really interesting stuff from Carlos Correa. Screw Carlos Correa. We've got really good stuff from that. We've got the governor of Texas. Governor Jeff Abbott, I think it is. Governor Abbott from Texas making a pretty declarative statement about college football. We got that coming up for you. What else did you guys talk about on your call? Oh, I know. I wanted to bring up with Stephen A. Stephen A. today suggested the idea of changing the NBA playoffs to go 1 through 16, just the 16 best teams in the NBA. So, in other words, Milwaukee would open up against Orlando. The Lakers would open up against Brooklyn. You're not a fan of it?
No. I want to keep because I want the West to have to go through the West, and I want the East to go through the East. I think there's going to be enough changes with no fans and no home court and no everything else that, you know, we talked about this the other day in the show. I want to see. I want Lakers Clippers. I want to see
it.
And
by the way, if you did go 1 through 16, you would get Lakers Clippers.
Well, they both have to win.
Right, you know. Right. I would measure it out. I measured it out, so they'd still be on opposite sides of the bracket.
Well, if they're on opposite sides of the bracket, you would get them in the finals.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't want.
Correct.
That.
You would get them in the finals if they're on the opposite sides of the bracket. Does that change your mind?
No, because then Milwaukee gets to beat the Clippers.
The Lakers would be on Milwaukee's side of the bracket if it happened right now.
No, because the Milwaukee's the one and the Lakers are the two.
One.
So they'd be on opposite sides.
Two. You're right. They would be on opposite sides. They'd be on opposite sides. Yeah, I did. I drew it out here, and I drew it out wrong.
Shocking.
But, yeah, they'd be on opposite sides of the bracket. You're just totally against that non-starter.
I am. But that doesn't mean they won't consider it.
Now, I heard Jalen talking about the idea of the play-in tournament. Now, it sounds like there's not really going to play in a play-in tournament. There are going to be five games remaining for each team. Do you think that will constitute a play-in? In other words, will there be a play-in between Sacramento and New Orleans and
It will give Sacramento, Portland, and New Orleans a chance to catch Memphis.
It's interesting, though, what games are they going to start with? In other words, what are those five games going to be? Because home court is going to help to be established through those five games.
Home court doesn't matter anymore, Mace.
Oh, you're right. It doesn't matter anymore.
Home court is irrelevant.
It affects seeding, though.
Right, but Memphis is just trying to hang on to the eight.
Right, I'm talking about, it's like, for example, in the Western Conference, Oklahoma City, Houston, and Dallas are basically tied. Which five games does Oklahoma City finish with? The last five games on their schedule? The last five games that were going to happen before they went on a pandemic break? Which five games are they going to get? Because those seedings are important.
Yeah, and maybe they set it up so they would play a bunch of games against each other.
Against each other, right.
Because that would make the most sense. The reason you're playing those five games is to get as many teams as you can to 70. And that way you get to collect your local TV revenue. And if you have to play five games and it doesn't matter who you play, why not have Memphis play its five games against New Orleans, Portland, Sacramento, and somebody else?
Right.
You know, make them all play each other.
Yeah, that would probably be the best way to do it. Then you've got a head-to-head way to determine exactly how to move forward. All right, so I don't like the vamping when we're waiting for a guest, Lance.
Well, what do you want her to do about it? She can't guests.
Yeah, exactly. She's supposed to call at 3:30, and she says she's going to call at 3:30. It's 3:33. I'll text right now. I mean, nothing at that.
No, I'm just saying I'm gonna move on to something else instead of killing time.
You already did move on to something else.
Aaron Donald, I'm jumping around. Easy now.
I was just saying you guys are talking about basketball, you know?
Yeah, so, okay. Aaron Donald from the Rams did a Zoom presser yesterday, and he said something that I want to dig into with you. Funch, hit that.
I feel like you need fans to play a game. I don't see how you could play a game without no fans. I feel like that take out the excitement and the fun out the game, kind of. You know, you make a big play, it's just you make a big play. You know, I feel like the fans would pick you up. The fans would make the game exciting. The fans would give you that extra juice when you're tired and fatigued, you know. When you make that big play, you hear 80,000 fans going crazy. That just pump you up. If you don't have that in a game, I feel like, you know, I think that just take the fun out of it. You know, you practice and practice is practice, and then you prepare to play a game and be on a big stage and play in front of a crowd of fans. I feel like I kind of, without no fans, I don't even see how that can be possible. Just from my point of view, it's just no excitement. It wouldn't be fun to me, I think. I don't think it would be fun to play a football game without fans.
Okay. So, we've talked about this a lot. Increasingly now, college football, and we'll get to this in a little bit. Increasingly now, college folks are thinking, you know what? Season's going to happen. We're going to go with fans.
Didn't the governor of Texas today basically double down on that?
Yeah, he basically
saying that we're playing and we're playing with fans.
Yeah, here is Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas. He was on KXAN-TV in Austin.
So listen, I've talked to the athletic director at the University of Texas, as well as the person in charge of the Big 12, and our goal right now is to have college football season start as planned with fans in stands. What we don't know is what the capacity level would be. Would it be strategic and limited to ensure we have safe distancing practices? There are factors we simply do not know at this time. What is going to be the status of COVID-19 in the state of Texas? What is going to be the status of any type of medical treatment, such as medicines, that can be taken for people who test positive for COVID-19? We will have further clarity on both of those issues as we get to the mid-July timeframe. According to the athletic director for the University of Texas, they need an answer by the early part of August. Now, we think we will be able to give it to them, but if you want a prediction, my prediction is, yes, we are going to have college football beginning on schedule with at least some level of fans in stand.
So that is Governor Greg Abbott of Texas in a pretty declarative way saying, yes, college football is going to happen, and yes, there will be fans there.
Well, let me go back. Going back to the Aaron Donald thing, Nobody wants to play in empty stadiums.
Right.
You know, I guess, Aaron, you can say it won't be fun. Of course it's going to be less fun. No one is advocating that it's a safety issue. You know, so I would say to Aaron Donald, I'd rather have football with no fans than no football at all.
Right.
Is it going to be less fun for the players and for everybody? Yeah. I mean, you spend a lot of money every year to go to the Ram games, and you might not be able to go in. Nobody wants that, but I just think it's the world we're living in. So I think Aaron, at one point in that clip you played, said, I just don't see how it could be possible. Well, you should start getting your head around that, because I can't say it for sure, Mace, but that could be the future of sports. Is no fans for at least 2020. So, I mean, he can say it's no fun. He doesn't want to do it. But, you know, the truth of the matter is nobody wants no fans. It just might be the world we live in.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Joining us right now is one of the world's foremost fitness experts, health and fitness. She's the creator of the Jillian Michaels fitness app. Everybody knows Jillian Michaels. Jillian, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. I'm as good as can be. How about you guys?
We are hanging in there, Jill. And it is, you know, there's so many questions we have for somebody like you. I mean, it so many people are out of shape and frustrated and they can't go to the gym. What are you telling your clients that call you and say, virus is driving me crazy? I know that part of your routine is mental as well as physical. What do you tell people that call you and say, I'm going stir crazy?
Sure. I mean, the reality is everybody's going through it. And I would suggest, first of all, now that some of the restrictions are easing up, get outside. So one of the things, because if you have kids, it adds a whole separate layer of complexity.
Right.
How do we word this? In a way that's PC, considering mine are downstairs at the moment playing video games, so I can talk to you. But one of the things I do when I have them is, you know, we go outside and we go hiking, or, you know, if we have a friend with a pool, I mean, you know, a good friend of the family, I let them go and swim and play in the pool, and a friend and I will do like a workout in the living room, or we'll all go for a bike ride around the neighborhood. So you can get outside. I think that's really important. So even if the workout isn't perfect, as long as you're moving your body, whether it's hiking or biking or swimming, and if you have kids, getting outside because they need to get outside too, or doing something like what I'm doing right now. Like I just finished homeschooling today about an hour ago, and my son was like, can I play Fortnite? And honestly, I mean, do I want him playing Fortnite? No, not really. I don't think it's stellar parenting between you and I, but I was like, yes, you can. And it's like, you know, you can get a little something done for yourself an at-home workout on your TV, stream an app. If you still have workout DVDs, whatever it is, pick something you like. And there are a million things we can do at home, whether it's yoga or kickboxing or bodyweight training or calisthenics, like jump rope, jumping jacks, mountain climbers, burpees. There really is a lot we can do. It's about carving out that time and not feeling guilty about it.
Health and fitness expert Jillian Michaels is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So, you know, I wonder if one thing that changes during this pandemic is that we all, now I mentioned I went to the gym before the pandemic. Now I'm doing yoga at home and I'm doing free weight training at home. I wonder if we're entering an era where we all sort of take more responsibility for figuring out a way to stay healthy while being at home.
You know, people have been working out at home for decades, right? Back in the Jack LaLanne days, into the Denise Austin, Jane Fonda days, into the Jillian Michaels days, and, you know, Nike Training Club, Olo Moves. Like, there are a bunch of different options, which is great, but I think people choose the gym or a combination, because that's what I used to do. I would choose a combination. I might take a class that I liked. I might go to the gym one day and lift weights. And then I might work out at home, you know, 2 days or 3 days, because I think it provided that social environment that's so important to people. So I don't think that will go away in the future, you know, when things are safer and people can feel more comfortable. But I do think there is a silver lining in that it's showing people, hey, you know what? Look at all the stuff that you can do. Let's bring it back to, all right, you don't have the time to get to the gym. Well, you can do 20 minutes in your bedroom or in your living room. And I do think people are developing new skills. Like, I've never been a jump roper and I've never been a runner, and I've started doing both. And I got to tell you, I'm getting fairly proficient at it. I watch like YouTube videos with these guys, jump rope dudes. Swear to God. And it's like, you know, I never thought, I mean, I'm a, you know, this old dog. I didn't think there'd be many new tricks for me. And it's so easy. I'm like, all right, I can just literally, I don't have to think about it. I jump rope for 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes and do body weight exercises. So I do think it's showing people there's so much that you can do at home. Not to say the days of gym going and boutique classes are over, but it also saves us a lot of money. So if you go to that spin class once a week instead of twice a week, and you've learned that you can do yoga and kickboxing and body weight training and all this stuff, and it's still super effective, I think it just opens up more doors for us.
We're talking to Jillian Michaels, and for people who don't know, Jillian reaches out and gets her message to people a lot of different ways. She has fitness DDD. She has a streaming platform. She has 8 best-selling books. She does live speaking, and she does stuff like this with us. So Jillian, one thing that I think a lot of people struggle with, and I'm just curious what your philosophy is what's more important? What I eat or what I do? In other words,
that's a good question. Yeah.
Nutrition or working out? What's like Steve, the other guy you were just talking to?
Yeah,
he works out. He does a lot of yoga, and he's pretty good about exercising. But he eats a box of donuts every day.
Yeah, Jillian, I am up 7 pounds during the pandemic.
Oh.
And I am working out, but I have got a weakness for donuts.
So Jill, give us the answer in your opinion. What's more important, what you eat or what you do?
Well, okay. This is basic science. Let's take it down to body weight. And it's called the law of thermodynamics, which basically means energy isn't created or destroyed in a vacuum. If you think about energy as stored fat, it doesn't get there unless we eat that energy, and it doesn't get burned unless we increase our physical activity. So the question then becomes, what's your goal? So if your goal is weight loss, believe it or not, it's going to be, I would say, 30% diet, right? But 70% fitness, because if you just cleaned up your diet and you weren't eating much, the reality is the amount you burn in a day is only going to give you. So let's say I'm burning 1,600 calories in a day without working out, which is generous for me being, you know, tiny and a girl. And I'm eating 1,400 calories and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I had air souffle for breakfast and a stick of broccoli for lunch and a speck of dust for dinner. And I'm starving. But it takes 3,500 calories to lose a pound. You have to burn in excess of that. So at that rate, it's going to take me days to lose that weight, right? So how do you accelerate the process? Well, you have to burn more in your day, and the only way to do that efficiently and quickly is by adding in exercise. Now, of course, you can eat your way through that exercise. So a good example would be, let's say a slice of pizza is 400 calories if we're being conservative, right? If it's like deep dish, okay, all this crap on it, it's going to be more. So an hour on the treadmill, depending upon your intensity, I mean, let's say you crushed it, absolutely murdered it, went crazy running or lifting weights, and you burned 600 calories. Well, you can eat one slice of pizza and damn near go through that. So it's a balance, right? If you're trying to maintain your weight, then it's going to be all food, because if you don't overeat, you're not going to gain weight. Now, remember, I'm talking about weight. We're not talking about health, which is a totally separate conversation.
Right.
So if you're maintaining weight, it's predominantly about food. If you're trying to lose weight, it really is predominantly about exercise. And that's kind of the key, is that constant juggling act of making sure that you don't eat more than you burn. And so it's a combo, but you really cannot lose weight effectively or efficiently without kicking in exercise.
Jillian, you do understand my position. Donuts are delicious, right?
I think one donut a day, though.
Amen,
right?
Jill. Amen.
One donut a day. That's called balance.
Hey, Jillian, do you, when your app, which is available on the App Store now, the Jillian Michaels Fitness app, do you cover all this? Is it just fitness, or do you talk nutrition and other stuff?
No, it's extremely comprehensive. So we got a couple of registered dietitians that I've worked with for years, a couple of gourmet chefs, again, that I've worked with for years, and we had them build 7 or 8 different meal plans. So there's vegan, paleo, even keto, which I'm not a fan of, but because people are.
Yeah.
I had Dr. Josh Axe help me create a meal plan for that so that it's done in the safest, healthiest way. Gluten-free, omnivore, pescatarian, vegetarian, no matter what your diet preferences are. I had these guys put together literally hundreds of recipes. So no matter what you need, it's there for you, and it's dynamic. So you can show up and say, okay, I'm allergic to shellfish. I'm cooking for one person. I'm cooking for 10 people. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to gain weight. I want to ban this recipe. I want to make this my favorite. And it's completely dynamic. So it customizes whatever your goal is, whatever you need, whatever you like, whatever you don't like, whatever your dietary preferences are. All the meal plans are customized for you. And the fitness is the same. So I have all my old workout DVDs in the app if you want them, because people still like them, so they're all in there. Mm-hmm. But you can show up and say, hey, Jill, I am a beginner. I want a 10-minute ab workout. I have zero equipment available, and I can generate it for you in the moment. There are prenatal, postnatal, yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, weight training, body weight training. There's literally over 1,000 different exercises in the app. So, I mean, I'm the known for at-home fitness. So that's what the app does, is it's designed for at-home fitness. So it's extremely comprehensive.
Well, listen, we appreciate you spending a couple of minutes with us, Jillian. It's a weird time. We're all doing our best, obviously, to find a way to, and I think you said something really valuable, which is to get outside. I don't know where you are, but we're in Los Angeles. It's a beautiful day here, so
Same.
Good day to go for a walk.
Yeah, get outside. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Just show up and show up with intention. That's all we're asking, is show up for yourself, show up with intention. If you do 10 minutes that day, it's a hell of a lot better than nothing.
Yep.
Yep.
All
Thank
right.
you, Jillian.
Thanks,
Stay
Jillian.
Safe.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. Right. There's Jillian Michaels. 7 pounds, John. 7 pounds.
Well, she gave you a bunch of good ideas there. She
All
gave
donuts.
You like 9 different diets you can try. And then
7
lose.
Pounds of donuts.
What about one donut? How about one donut?
So hard. So hard. You know, it's like I'm sure, you know, I have an expression, sugar begets sugar. Once I start eating sugar, forget it. It's over. I'm gone.
Well, no wonder you've gained 7 pounds.
Exactly. All right, coming up next. You got something?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I want to ask you about, you know, you talked about Aaron Donald. You talked about the governor of Texas.
Yep.
I'm going to put you in a situation which is going to be very hard for you to answer based on what they were talking about. And I'll do it coming up.
All right. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.